Hi, I'm Paula Radcliffe, and it is my honour to host the World Athletics podcast today with two of the greatest icons, probably, of men's distance running, Paul Turgat and Haile Gebrselassie, joining me within the limits and constraints of technology and internet connections from Africa. But hopefully we will bring you a fun chat and some of the banter and great rivalry and great friendship that really epitomized their career that spanned over 20 years, and I was lucky to fit into a lot of that. Okay guys, so we're going to start off with a little bit of a trip down memory lane. If we go right back to first Olympic memories back in 1996, and your memories of those two iconic races, really, that you had in 1996, and then that finish in Sydney in 2000, where one was in front, then the other was fighting back, and it was really cat and mouse all the way down the home straight. Of those two, do you each have a favorite?
Thank you very much, Paola, for hosting us today. And we apologize that our schedules has been very difficult to be able to catch up most of the time. But now we are here. And to go back to your question is that, you see, when it comes to our time since 1996, we have come a very long way. And when it comes especially to our running in particular as a sport, I won't say that since that time, things have really changed for a very long time. And especially with me and Haile, since that we met way, way back in early 90s in cross country, and as we developed together our friendship and our competitive also rivalry for a very long time and until today. So 96 was my first Olympics event to participate in, and I missed 92 because after 92 I had after Boston, and I believe that we were together in Boston, the cross country.
I think all three of us were together in Boston, right? Everybody was in Boston, and then everybody, it was the first Olympics in Atlanta.
Exactly. And
it's just that you two jumped up much faster than me.
Boston, I didn't make even to the start line, which was a very disappointment to me at that time. And I thought that my career is finished completely, because I had won and beat everybody back here. I was actually the favorite in the country, in the team, from a Kenyan team. And I could not make because I was flying for the first time. Being in the plane for the first time was something very unique from my end. And landing in Boston, I think my body went into shock because of the cold.
Was it the first time you saw snow?
It was my first time in my lifetime.
And you, Haile?
No, for me it was the second time, I believe, because you know I ran in 1991 Antwerp, Belgium. You remember that one? I think you know, Paul, you missed not that race, but don't worry, you didn't miss anything because it was really terrible. It was perfect for you, Paula. You win the junior race, the Boston. You win the junior or?
Yeah, in Boston.
Yeah, you did. You did it. I remember that one.
So, yeah, it was cold that day in Boston. But then Atlanta was hot, because I remember, Haile, I remember some horrible pictures of you and the bottoms of your feet after the race. Do you remember that in Atlanta?
Paula, Atlanta was really terrible. Imagine, you know, the difference between Atlanta and Boston. It's it's like very opposite each other, right? And Atlanta was really, as Paul said, you know, was my first Olympic. And I missed also the Barcelona because of was not qualified. But I was good, you know, just I would have been, you know, just to participate in Barcelona also, but didn't work. But the Atlanta was really the hard one. When I said the hard one, of course, as you see, you know, the humidity, the temperature is really very, very hot. And of course, when you think about Africa, especially Kenya and Ethiopia, it looks hot, but here in Addis Ababa, we don't have just more than 28 degrees centigrade per day. But in Atlanta, sometimes it was 35. With humidity, imagine how difficult. That's Atlanta. And me and Paul, of course, we were same time, for the same distance. And me and Paul Tergat, we had really a long career since 96. First one we ran together, 93, I think, Paul. I don't remember exactly. That cross country, maybe, or somewhere?
Yes.
I don't forget, because, he's always in front of me when it's cross country. That's why, how can I forget?
Yeah, Paul's the king of cross country, right, Paul?
When you talk about cross country, for sure, that is something that we try to square it out with Aile for a very long time. He had to salute. He had to salute me, later. But again.
But you had some great models, role models to follow, Paul, with the likes of Ngugi, and then to follow through with so many times winning the world cross country. Is it your favorite cross country track road?
Yeah, exactly. Coming also from way from 93, actually, which when I picked up now my running career seriously. My friendship again with Aile, being the two great East African runners, was clearly genuine, and it was actually born since that time. And I want to say that as much as our friendship, which does actually stretch beyond our sport and across our national borders and boundaries, because since that time, aside every time that we meet during the race, when we change into our shoes for competition representing our respective nationalities, we definitely became we are naturally converted into intense sporting rivalry, which is something that we always love that. But after that, even during Grand Prix, you remember during the Grand Prix, immediately after the game, after the competition, the Grand Prix, whether in London, whether it is in Zurich, whether it is in all these meetings that we used to go, immediately after the competition, we would still stay around within the lobby when the other athletes are gone, all the rooms disappeared, and going to sleep. But we could still enjoy our tea and coffee. I know Aile loves coffee a lot, and I love tea. Yeah. So we used to...
It's Kenyan tea, Ethiopian coffee.
Yes.
It's a really important point that you make, Paul. It's rivalry on the track, but I think a lot of friendship and respect off the track. And do you think that is distance running, or do you think that's marathon? Or I think within the marathon, because it's such a hard event, we have a lot of respect because everybody is going through that preparation. Do you think?
I think marathon was actually something else because we met with Aile again in London, London Marathon 2002. And that was one such showdown when I will never forget, because that race, when I after 2000, I told Aile, I think I'm moving completely now to the marathon, and so you will join me later. So when he joined me, we met in London, London Marathon. We all went to the sprint. And that is the time that when we walk down the mall, near the mall, what you call the
mall.
The mall. Yes, the mall. Yes. And the sprint was so intense that as much as I finished second that time, but the world record was set.
Yeah, no, I remember that race. It was such An iconic race.
Khalid Kanuji.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you two came in and all of the talk and the hype was about the race between Tergat and Gebrselassie, and we'll see what will happen. And then Khalid Kanuji comes in, and I remember waiting at the finish line, because I had already finished that day, was also my debut, and just so excited for this race coming in, because with 1 mile, 2 kilometers to go, you were all together. And to try and guess who might win from you, everything changed in that last 2 kilometers, no?
Yeah, I mean, and since then, I actually find my footing now into the marathon, and I enjoyed my career, very long career. I mean, like you, we enjoy it together. I mean, Paola, this was, you see, even when I tried to relive back into the Sydney Olympic Games, which to me until today, there will remain, there will be nothing exceptional like that event. This was one global event that captured the whole world with what was widely regarded at that time as one of the most thrilling nights in our athletics history in terms of our competitions. And I want to say again that as much as even some other people still call it a magic Monday, and which elicited so much special memories for us as a track and field fans, especially for the track and field fans for many years, even today, with many agreeing that it was actually one of the rarest competitions that we had. I remember that time, competing, and I was in the best form, knowing that I was going to give the best and all that. But again, this is competition, which sports has actually given me a great experience that's such a rich emotions also when I think about it, and it has actually made me to be who I am today.
Paola, I just want to tell you, Paola, after so many years, we revised our competition between you and me, especially these two Olympics, Atlanta and Sydney. Of course, Atlanta was just so many problems. So many problems means same also Sydney. But one thing what I want to tell you about, these two races, these two Olympics. I can say if Paul did the tactic from Sydney to the Sydney tactic should be Atlanta. The Atlanta tactic should be Sydney.
Now you're telling him.
This is a secret. After so many years,
he's letting the cat out now.
But Paul, that's exactly what they told me also. In 2000, I should use the tactics I use in 2001, and in 2001, I should use the tactics I use in 2000.
Exactly. Paola, I want to tell you just what happened. When I came to Sydney, really, my shape, my performance, including, the Achilles tendon, everything was, not for competing. I knew, Paul, he pushed, the last the last 2K or 2,000 meters. As you see, his Atlanta tactic was, 2,000 before the finish. And at the Sydney, he was waiting until, the last moment. And I was, during that race in Sydney, I was waiting, Paul, especially the last 5 laps. I was waiting, Paul, when he's moving. If he could move, the same like what he did, just Atlanta, it would have been, just a gold medal. Believe me. that day, that gold medal was not me. It was God. The gold from God, not from Haile Gebrselassie. For me, When I see that race, I can say it's not because of I was strong. It's because of, you know, just it's a, really, I can say it's a chance or.
Paul is still competitive. He still says God likes him more than you.
Yeah, exactly. He almost win the race. Almost. And I always tell to people, this is the race. I mean, this is the gold from God.
I let me say this, that in Sydney, the last around 400 meters, 300. This guy, what was the name of this your athlete? What was the name?
Asafa
Masegebu. When I realized, he came and boxed me in, because I knew I was going to eat it. And I knew you was not going to see me.
Hey, you see, this is teamwork, man.
But all in all, Paola is such a. When you consider also that in every games or any finals or any event that maybe we compete, when you consider the emotions, excitement, and actual going to the podium, you know, for me, any medal was a great medal. For me, just maybe to have it. And, you know, thinking also buying your park, that's back at home, millions of people are watching the same event. And it is such an incredible experience, especially as an athlete, knowing that you are there and you are carrying the aspirations of millions of people back, your citizens back at home. Because you are a very small number of athletes who are representing the millions back at home. And everybody else would be watching, and especially my competition and Aile was actually one of the worldwide watched. Everybody was watching it, you know. So again, is that I wish Aile all the best always. And I told him, and he knows that as I was even telling him that as we were acting ourselves immediately after the game, after we finished, I asked him, and I told him, my friend, I'm wishing you all the best. And I would be moving now to the marathon myself, because that was actually was going to be my last event, the track ever in my career, and that was what I actually was doing. And then and I became very good friends. We are still today, and I said even earlier that and for sure after Sydney. And the end of my track career, I actually even become a better person and a better athlete even today. And I owe you so much, Aile, for the words and the value.
The value you
brought to the sport, which has made me to be whom I am even today. So I salute you. I mean, I say thank you again. I mean, our friendship families.
Too.
Our families are very close. We are always together. We always talk together nearly every other day, so which is okay. It shows, unlike many other athletes, they don't know even who they were competing before. So, I mean, for us, we are still good friends even today.
So I think we've lost Tiley for a little bit, Paul, but if we keep going, chatting until we can maybe get him back. So quickly, what would be your favorite? If you had to pick marathon, track, cross country,
I can say all of them, because
but you have
if you
to
say
pick.
If I have to pick for sure I used to love cross country very much.
So what can we do to get cross country back to where it was? What do you think,
Paola? I think what we really need now is that we need to invest more in terms of the younger generation across the world, so that they can be able to. Because remember, you cannot be able to be a good runner who will be able to last for longer in terms of a career. You are taking sports as a career also. Like some of us that we were around close to about 20 years. It was because of we started when we were younger to using cross country, And then it developed our whole system in terms of getting adapted into even the body, adapting into all the terrains and all that. So when it is on the road, you are okay. In the truck, you are there. And we enjoy it. We enjoy it everywhere.
No, I agree. And I think the cross-country helps you to train your mind and to train your mind to be really tuned in to your body and how much you have left and how to judge your effort perfectly. And that helps so much with the marathon. And I think in my heart, I would like to see all youngsters starting to run have that experience of the world cross country, because we talked about 1992, and it's a huge step to go from racing cross country in your country to representing your country in something like the world cross country as it was then, with so many nations and so many people there. And I think, as you say, it's a huge melting ground, and to see it come back a little bit in Aarhus meant a lot to me. To be able to run that course in Aarhus, which was proper cross country, and to see it come back. So let's hope it continues in Bathurst.
Cross country again, as I said again, it takes all different seasons to all of us, and it gave us what we really wanted to achieve. Also, even when we went to Morocco, it was very hot. When we went to South Africa, it was totally different. I mean, we traveled a lot. And when it comes to our great sport in track and field, athletics, it has actually given us a rare personality. That is why even when every day, when you come to my house, when I arrive from work, I'm still looking for channels for sports, because that is what it keeps me updated of what is going on around. You know, I just sit down, I just maybe to check what is going on, because I love this is what it is in me, this is what I enjoy.
And to share it with your family also. Do you, your kids are grown up now, right?
Yes, I'm now my kids are older. I'm a grandfather of one now.
Oh, congratulations. But are they involved in sport, or did they go down different avenues? Because I'm wondering if the children grew up and they saw your focus and your preparation, and then that rounded them for success in some areas, maybe not in sport, but maybe outside of sport.
Unfortunately, for them, they have actually taken a different careers. Our son is a pilot. Our daughter, she's a lawyer. And we have an economist who is in London School of Economics, LSE, in UK. We have a small one. And now she's in high school, almost finishing for university. So I wouldn't say that that's our last one, because our second born, she's a lawyer by profession, and she works with United Nations. So, I mean, you could see these guys. But they love and they enjoy the sports very much. And But we create an environment for them to be able to grow and pursue their passions in any field in life, mm-hmm. That is the key thing. But for me and my wife, we are always we do our own runs every day, every weekend together. So because it also keeps us, it keeps you, your mind calm and keeps your mind sharp in everything. Sports is very unique. It's very unique. And especially our sport. Our sport is very unique every now and then. And I want maybe also that even in future, that we want maybe to encourage. I wish I would be able maybe like now that with this, what we are doing now, maybe in future we can be able maybe to have us maybe visiting some parts together and as a team, maybe to encourage these young people, especially kids from schools, so that they can be able to understand that it's very important to enjoy the sports as much as possible.
Yeah, I think that's a point. So what do you think of the people at the moment, Paul? The current and then maybe the future also. So if I ask you to predict... For Tokyo, it's hard, right? Because the athletes have not been able to prepare as normal. I don't think we will see an outcome that we would have seen had it taken place in 2020. But can you predict, and do you think they will be okay afterwards?
I think everything will be okay, yeah, because most of the sportsmen are actually focusing, especially when you talk of Olympics. Olympics is once in 4 years, and many sportsmen are actually, they've been looking forward to this event. They've been training so hard, even on their own. Even you could meet individuals going on their own, not because of the pandemic now, but every now and then you could see individuals on the, not as a group, but just only the waking up in the morning and maybe going to keep fit so that they can be able to be selected.
Come on, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who's your, you have to pick one, 5,000, 10,000 or marathon in Tokyo, and your pick.
For the I think I'm still going for the marathon to see who is going to win, because I think marathon will be a game changer. Looking in terms of the top runners that are going to compete there, will be a great event.
So who do you think? Who do you think will come out on top?
I know Kipchoge, and now Zachary picked up himself from Kenya. I know also the other athletes are from Ethiopia. They are very good. So I'm hoping that we will be able maybe to see the fireworks again, rekindled.
Because you think Kipchoge can do it one more time? Because he was unbeatable for so long, and then that sub 2 was so amazing. And for now, do you think he can come back from the little hiccups?
He will come back. One is that probably this one might be the last year Olympics that he's participating in. So I think he's really working very hard now that he's in the national team, so that before he moved on now maybe to do his other things in life, you know. Yeah, like us, I mean, we moved on. After our marathon, our careers in sports, we moved on now into leadership roles in our sports, and that's what we love, and we do all that, you know. And it's a totally different environment which we are working in, but we enjoy, you know. When I see sportsmen every other day, it keeps me. I could feel my heartbeat, you know. I want to go back again to those days, you know.
But if we can't go back, then the next best thing is watching, right? So what were you thinking when you were watching the sub 2?
Yes, the sub 2, I knew it was going to be possible. You remember during our time, it used to be 2.6, 2.7 in the marathon for men. For the women, you remember when you came down to run under 2.16, people could say, "Wow, we would not believe," you know. When I ran under 2.05, people could say they could not believe. But I say always records are being set to be broken, and it has to be like that, because things keep on changing, technology keep on changing. Even the weather also keep on changing and all that. So there's so many things could come together.
Here's a question, Paul. Which is worth more? The 201.39 on his own in a race in Berlin, or the sub 2? Which for you is the better performance?
At Berlin was the best one, because he had a lot of pressure. But this other one, he didn't have any pressure, because he was actually made for him, for himself. I mean, the race was made for him. But Berlin was actually with very good athletes, so which was a very unique competition. Me and you understand. When you are actually competing with other athletes who are very strong, you the pressure is there. But when you know that most the other athletes, nobody is going to challenge you and all that, you are relaxed, even your mind, you can do anything. You can somersault, you can do anything. You are going, you know, it is you. So Berlin was a very special one.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I feel that for a spectacle and for people to watch and be amazed at. The sub two was great. But I think for us as racers and as fans of the sport, the most impressive performance is always when you get it right on that day and you beat the competition, you play all of the mind games and you come out on top. And so, yeah, I agree. And I'm glad that the same person had both.
Yes, exactly.
Because I think for someone else to run under two and not have the world record,
yes,
would have been difficult.
Exactly. So that's why I'm saying that I'm very proud that he's still the same. After that, he had already run in Berlin very well. And now he can now do anything else. And we are happy that he has the two records.
For the moment. But it can change quickly.
Of course, it can change.
Who would be next, maybe, to break the world record?
During our time, we were talking about Ethiopians and Kenyans. But now we are and Moroccans. But now we see the Ugandans coming in.
So do you think Cheptegei can beat it? Do you think he can move to the marathon, Cheptegei?
Looking in terms of the way he's coming up now, I think he's the man to watch in future.
Can you hear us, Haile?
No, I can hear you now.
Haile, you need to take over the internet company in Addis.
Yeah, you need to own it.
Yeah. So we're going to put you on the spot a little bit. We've been talking and giving predictions for Tokyo and your picks for the future. And we were wondering who might be the next person to break the world record in the men's marathon.
It's me. Why not? I can break it again. But still between Kenya and Ethiopia, I don't know who's going to be. A bit joking, you know, just to put myself the next person to break the record. But no matter what, these days, many athletes from Ethiopia and Kenya are really doing very well. And if you look, you know, just 10,000 and 5,000 meters, of course, they're athletes from Uganda. They're doing it a lot, huh?
Yeah, maybe they will also. We were saying maybe Cheptegei can move to marathon also. Kiplimo, maybe. Kiplimo ran in the half.
You never know. You never know. It's really what you see. I had a chance, you know, just to see his 10,000 meters. Amazing. And the 5,000 meters as well. And we'll see. We'll see the next marathon world record holder. But you cannot say this person, that person, because they know we have to be very diplomat. Huh?
Okay. But no. Okay, then, for Tokyo, Haile.
For Tokyo, who's going to win 10,000?
Let's say 10,000, yeah. 10,000. So is it going to be Great Britain? Is it going to be Uganda? Is it going to be Ethiopia, Kenya?
Again, you know, athletes from Uganda, they are really strong. And Paul, I don't know athletes from Kenya how strong they are. You know, I know the athletes from Ethiopia, they are strong enough. And of course, Kiplimo still there. You know, what's his name again? You know, the guy from Uganda,
Cheptegei.
Kipchoge. And I think, you know, just one thing what I want to tell you, of course. When it comes for race, it's a race for everybody. It depends on, you know, just what pace it's going to be. It depends on the pace. If the pace is slow enough, you know, sometimes you cannot predicate, you know, who's going to win. You know, the person who has a good sprint, a good kick, yes, they can. But we'll see. I myself also want to see, you know, just this. Especially most of them, we had no chance to see them, you know, because of this pandemic.
That's exactly what we were saying, Haile, that the world of sport, we need to see races again. We need to see championships again. And I think the youngsters coming through have maybe missed an entire age group, so they never will compete in a junior championships. And they need to see races come back and be able to aim for them and be inspired by them.
Exactly. One of the things that we miss, you know, just this this COVID-19, of course, as you said, they're not just the junior, there's no junior race, you know. But You know, the coming, I mean, this Olympics and Tokyo is going to be very interesting, I believe. You don't know who will be very, I mean, strong. Because you don't see them the last almost more than a year. I could chance to see them very few competition, not that much. And that's why, you know, we're really wanted to see them. And but you know, what's important, you know, back to the track, back to the normal way, and back to the Olympics, and the sprint, back to, you know, just to those athletes, what they wish, what they dream. And you see, when we talk about Olympics, you know, just a dream of everybody. And we'll see.
But again, Paola, is that, as Ayla Sakwale said, is that you see, when most of athletes are, they might be training on their own, but we might have such a huge surprise in Tokyo, because the athletes that's because we have not seen them in most of these competitions, in the Grand Prix or something like that, because there were so many Grand Prix before they came, major games, so you could tell who is who. We, the ones, the few races that some of these athletes have competed, they are very small, the number are small, but the ones who will be likely will be competing in Tokyo might be even totally different athletes, might not be the same one that we know. So I think because of this COVID-19, that's really affected how athletes, even the travels, the people cannot be able to travel. Some countries, through their Ministry of Health, are not allowing people to travel out of the country and all that. So most of them, as much as they travel, they don't travel, but they are still working very hard on the local scene.
We see the athletes when they finally get the chance to compete. It's such a relief to be able to compete that we really will see some phenomenal racing happening because they are just so happy to be able to get out and race.
Exactly, and that is why you could see every time when these athletes get opportunity to compete, you can't believe the timings that they are returning, you know, because they've been training for so long, and when the opportunity presents itself to go and compete outside there, then they give their best, 100%.
And Haile, are you still there? Haile, has it been hard to keep people motivated in training through the pandemic?
You know, we have an organization called, you know, the Great Ethiopia, and we try to motivate, you know, the athlete through a few races. For example, one time we hosted, you know, the Women First Race, and other time, you know, virtual race. But you know, when you see, you know, those athletes who want to compete and only training, nothing else. The income is another thing, you know, what they get, you know, just out of competition or what they pay. But what is important, the race for them is the most important part, you know, just how to test themselves. You see, a student, why they need to study? Because of they have an exam, because of they have a test. And at the same time, why those athletes are training so hard? Because, you know, they have a because of competition. If there is no competition, imagine, sometimes it's boring to train hard. And some of our athletes, they start training almost long time ago, you know, for this Olympic game. And thanks to the organizer of the coming Olympic Games, and they really, now surely they're gonna host, you know, this Olympics. Even, you know, until, you know, last week, you know, everybody, they're afraid of, you know, just in case, you know, they postponed for another year, and all those athletes, you know, they were, you see, you know the feeling of, you know, competition. After such hard training, if the organizer of the race, oh, I cancel my race, Paula, you don't need to come. Imagine, you know, how this is, you know, you feel it.
Yes. Now, and also for juniors, for the youngsters coming through? I mean, we talked at the beginning about 1992 and the junior races. I remember you in Seoul. Was where you were hit, no? Was it with Machuca? It's a formation and it's an experience. Is that right? It was Machuca?
Exactly, Jose Machuca. You're right. Paula, I gave him, you know, best forgiveness from Haile. You know, the pain is still there. After 30, I'm in a the pain is still behind.
But it is an important, the junior championships are very important as a stepping stone for the athletes to come through. And I think that's what you mean. If they miss that stepping stone, then it's really hard to break into a senior world championships, Olympic Games, without any taste or any experience or any learning of the rules and the way to race.
Oh, exactly. The junior race has to, you know, has to keep, you know, has to continue like before, because you see our you know, just starting point, which means starting line, it's, you know, that junior, you know, the things you and myself, this one is not for Paul Terga, I mean for Paul. Paul never ran maybe junior, I don't know exactly which junior he ran, because he was too old, you know, when he started running.
Honestly, when I started my career, I started my career a little late, so I can say that I stumbled in this career and I came to love it so much because I never knew, and I'm happy that Haile was able to maybe to pick it up, that because I remember when I was still in primary school, went to high school and all that. I mean, I was never a good athlete. You know, I mean, if I knew that I had a very special talent, probably maybe I would have represented maybe schools level, maybe schools and championships, or even the junior level. I would have represented the country in the junior level. But I came to venture into the big league of the big. I was baptized in by fire by getting in the bigger league. You know. But again, I don't regret anything. I don't regret anything because I think I came, personally, I came to the sport when I really knew what I needed. And everything else after that became history. And until today, I'm indebted to that I stumbled in this career and it has given me what no one else could have given me. I come from where I grew up, where I was born. I think I was among the first athletes to start to compete. So I've never met anyone who is running when I was young, and so I didn't know there was no one. It is a little part deep in the. It is not in Eldred. I don't come from Eldred. I don't come from Kapsabet. I don't come from Kericho. I come from this other part, little dry areas, part of. Of Rift Valley in Baringo County, and this was part of the things that we were struggling even to get even a meal a day, so it was not easy. So, well, you are talking about the sport. Sport is what? There was nothing like that.
But I think you make the right point, Nohaile, that the important thing is when we come to the sport, and that you stay involved because of a love of it, a passion for it, and that helps people to stay involved. So the more people we can get involved who can feel the passion and find that sport for them, then I think we see the future, and then we support the juniors coming through.
Of course, which way we are going to support, you know, the juniors? It's an easy way. That easy way means, you know, just you cannot, you know, just reach every person, every junior athlete, not in Kenya, not in Ethiopia, but this athlete, you know, they follow your history, your result, and what he's been during his Olympics and during, you know, those athletes, what they need, you know, just they always, you know, want to see, you know, our background, our result from athletics, and you know, those youngsters, you know, just nowadays, as you know, technology brings everything, you know, just they can
far. I mean, they can see all the rest, you know, from YouTube and whatever. And that's why, you know, just they learn a lot. You know, technology brings everything. But as an athlete, as I know, just because you know we have to look also ourselves. You know, just what we are doing. You know, just we are following a footstep of you know, another person as in a businessman, as a for example, a gentleman from Kenya. Paul, he's a big boss now. He needs, you know, just somebody to follow footstep. Huh? We are junior, you know, the things what we are now.
No, it is true. It is true because that's why we are encouraging also our sportsmen that when we are taking them through, that as much as they are active now, they need also to plan in terms of the their lives after this active lives in sports careers. And because even us, we had to learn with so many other people, you know, so that we can be able to step up immediately after. Otherwise, you could be relevant and maybe ending up and no one knowing you anymore. So you see, like Saila said, that with you, Paola and others, and very few others, and Aile, you hardly see them. You hardly even hear them. You don't know what they are doing. And so that we need our sportsmen, as they retire, they transit well and have a meaningful life after that. Yeah, not completely maybe to disappear.
Because there's the skills that we learn in competing at the top level are similar skills to success in the business world also. Would you say both of you, I think, have probably used those skills that you learned and you developed and that commitment, that perseverance to transfer to success after your careers, in your second careers?
Very sure. You know, both needs to be number one. And plus, you know, both need, you know, just... exactly. You know, the... my athletics background, it's helped, you know, just the things what I'm doing right now, the business. Because, you know, both needs, you know, just, I mean, to be disciplined, to be, you know, I mean, to work hard. And, you know, thanks to be an athlete, you know, athletics, more than winning, it's helped, you know, just my life. Because, you know, my life right now, focus, I mean, like, I mean 25, 30, 26 years focus on time. No. After I stopped competing, what happened? I switched to business. And you see, that that experience from running, I brought, you know, just to my office. And that's why everything what I'm doing here in the office is almost very, I mean, the difference is, you know, just running on the track and running in the office. No different, I can say. And thanks to running, you know, sport, believe or not, you know, what I tell to people who doing, you know, just politics, who doing, you know, science or hospital, wherever they are, let them do, you know, the sport. Sport is everything. Sport is, you know, just not only, you know, just bringing people together. Sport is, you know, just alive. And without, you know, just doing, you know, bit running in the morning, you cannot. I mean, I cannot, you know, just do properly in the office.
So let's throw that question out there then, Haile. How much do you do now? How much do you run now?
No, I don't do 35K a day. Come on, Paul.
No, how much? Because Paul runs with his wife, right, Paul?
Paula, you know, Paul, Monica, she beat him, you know, just every day. They run 10K. Maybe Paul, he stopped, you know, somewhere, you know, 7 and 6K. Monica, she finished, you know, up to 10K. I'm myself, okay. Look at me. I'm still running, you know, 10K.
But do
a day.
You still measure it?
The treadmill tells you everything.
Okay, so the treadmill counts for you.
Honestly, and I want to echo what Aile said, that sports, if you take sports seriously and make it as a way of life, it makes you, it will change you. You will be able to, even in terms of transition, in terms of life skills and everything else, like what we are doing, all of us, in our careers now, that's why we are enjoying and we are successful, and we are enjoying every day. It is another marathon. It is another pattern. You just remove, you just you hand up that pattern to other guys, and then you move on, and then you move on with this other pattern, and it is good. And I won't say that as what Ayla Sakole said is that I learned a lot even during the Sydney Olympic Games. As much as I lost with the thickness of face to Ayla, I want to say that that race made me to be a better person after. Ayla, you made me to be a better person, and I salute you. You know, and I salute you every day, because honestly, it's that it made me to believe that in life there is so much that we could be able to do together. When you lose, you don't say that you are giving up. You still come back again and do other things in a greater way. And I believe that since then, we have been able to do so much together. We have been able to influence positively other sportsmen, and so that they can, because sports should not be seen as an enmity. In fact, even for us that we are leaders now, we want to push sports as a national security, because this is sport will always speak to everyone, regardless of your color, your age, your size, your religion. Everyone, sport is such a something very unique to all of us, and it has got no barriers. It cuts across any barrier. So, anytime, like even the Olympics or any, you could see the whole world standing, come to stand still, watching, and see these athletes. And these athletes, they don't even speak the same language; they speak sport.
And thank you, Paul, because I think that's a really great point, maybe a great point to end on, is that power of sport, and that's what we all want to see come back. And it can do so much, and it's been such an honor to chat to both of you today and see that friendly rivalry, that banter is still there, and those friendships are formed for life. And we say that marathon is a little bit like life. It's up and down, and you have to stay strong in the tough times and come through in the good times, and sport helps us all cope with that in different areas, the different challenges that everybody faces. So thank you so much, both of you, for joining me today, and for the wisdom that you've shared and the fun too.
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you, Paula. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye, ciao.